Good morning. I want to welcome you this morning. As you know, today is only a live stream service and will not be as long as usual. We want to come together and find encouragement this morning. I know that many of you are suffering today. Many of you are struggling with COVID and with colds and flus and other things. And Maggie and I have been sick with COVID this week, and so our house is under quarantine, and we have quarantined ourselves. So we want to come together this morning and consider encouragement from the Lord during this time. Encouragement during this time. Maggie and I just want to report to you, we are not 100%, but we are much better and getting better every day. I know that some of you have come through the worst of it, and others have just contracted it, and so it's just running rampant right now. Most, just many in the church have it right now, and so it is quite a destructive thing and a disruptive thing as we consider what it does in our lives. And I do have just a word of encouragement this morning, and I want us to pray, take time to pray for the body and to come together and just remember who we are as the body of Christ and what it means. What does God expect of us this morning, even though we are sick, even though we are struggling in the body and struggling with weakness in many ways today? I'm going to open in prayer, and I'm going to read in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18, after I pray. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for those who are watching today. Lord, I know that the body is weary. I know that they are tired, and Lord, they are ready to be through with this thing and to get back to normal life. Lord God, I pray that you would give them some word this morning that would encourage them and would bless them and strengthen them for this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. I want to read the scripture for this morning. We're going to read down through 28 and then 35 through 39. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to those who live, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Skip over to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as I began this morning, I want to reiterate this and just give you an invitation this morning. Many of you are sick. Some of you are worse than others. And I commend you for even tuning in and joining us this morning on live stream, because many of you may have waked up in time and said, oh, I don't feel like doing this. Why am I even going to do this? Some of you may feel that there's nothing you could possibly gain today, but that you ought to take the time to be with the body of Christ and to join in. And I'm just going to imagine for a moment, because I've been in this situation now for the last few days, maybe you're just lying there. Maybe you're saying, oh, why am I going through this? And why am I even checking into the service this morning? Some of you are absolutely weary in your body, and your head is perhaps aching. And I just want to encourage you this morning that all that is fine, because live stream, that's the beauty of this. I just encourage you to grab a cup of coffee or hot tea or whatever you want that will soothe you perhaps this morning, and get your Kleenex if you need it. Get your comfort snacks if you need them, and wrap up if you need to stay warm, and just chill for a few moments and try to listen the best you can, because I know that for me, it's been really difficult concentrating, and you may have a hard time concentrating this morning. You can groan and we won't hear you. It won't matter. You can moan and you can sigh and just express your feelings as you lay there. Express them to the Lord, because He cares for you this morning. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're holding a sick little one. Maybe you're holding a sick little one in your arms, and you're praying over them and asking the Lord to touch them. So join us this morning with whatever is going on with you and your home and your family and the sickness that is besetting so many this morning. We know that live stream is no substitute for the local church. You can't hug, you can't touch, you can't be there to see face to face one another. God created us with this need to see and touch and to experience, to cry with each other in our time of need, to encourage one another and pray for one another. But this morning, we're still one body. We're still one body. We're scattered over many miles, but we're still one body, and we are one body in spirit. And while many have aching bodies physically this morning, we are one body in spirit, and we come together this morning to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to listen to that for just a moment, because what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is love one another. The Bible says that is His one commandment. Love one another. Love the Lord your God first with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And even higher than just loving your neighbor, the Bible commands us to love one another in the body of Christ with a passionate love. We are to love one another and bear one another's burdens. So this verse tells us how we love one another. How do we love one another? By bearing one another's burdens. And what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? It means to carry them to the throne of God. We're not to carry them as though we can offer any kind of redemption for them, as though we can carry them and earn any kind of righteousness. No, we carry burdens for one purpose and one mission, and that is to carry other people's burdens to the throne of God and leave them there, to unburden them at the throne of God. So I want to briefly this morning remind you of some things and encourage you. What is God's expectation? What is God's expectation of you when you're down with sickness as you are today? For some of you may have even joined us this morning and you're thinking, gosh, I don't feel spiritual. I am so sick. I haven't read my Bible this week. I'm so sick. I can't think straight. I'm so sick. I can't concentrate. I'm so sick. I can't focus. I'm so sick. Well, our God, let me explain something to you this morning. Our God is a legal God, but he is not a legalistic God. These are two vastly different things. God operates according to his law and according to his love, but he does not demand harshly of his people in a way that is cruel or that is unfitting of the love of God. God is not legalist. He's not legalistically checking off a list to see if you've earned anything, if you've been good enough this week, especially in your time of sickness. In other words, God is not up there saying, oh, you're not praying enough this week. You're not spiritual enough this week. You're not taking time to worship me, and you're not serving me this week by serving other people. You're sitting here saying, I can't do anything but just lay here and groan and moan. So why am I feeling this oppression, and why do I feel this burden as though I am not living up to something that I should be living up to? I want to remind you that Romans 8:1, I want to encourage you. Every word this morning is meant to encourage you this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are called according to his purpose. Those who love him and are the loved of God and are called according to his purpose. There is therefore no condemnation. That means you have been placed in Christ. He has already taken all condemnation, all wrath for sin. He has already borne your burden. That even includes where you don't live up, where you just fail to be everything you should be, where you're not in tune with the Lord as closely as you should be. God has already borne every sin that you could possibly commit. He has already taken it away to Calvary, already carried it for you in your place, and you now are in him. The Father looks at him and sees his perfect righteous Son. He looks at you and sees you legally, judicially, in his Son, in Christ, as though you've never sinned, as though you are perfect, as though you are walking with him in great power and great might, even though you know that right now you fall short in so many ways. So there is no condemnation. Number one, take that off the table. There is no condemnation for you this morning. Be encouraged this morning that in your sickness, God is with you. That in your place of difficulty this morning, God is with you. The Bible says that he is with you, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is lifting you. He's holding you. He's carrying you through this storm and through this time of difficulty. If you're suffering with sickness, you should simply rest. If you're suffering with sickness, you rest. And God has all understanding and grace and mercy for that. If your body needs rest, rest. He designed it in such a way that rest helps it to rejuvenate and to heal and to restore. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, because the word should always, you wouldn't be checking in this morning as a believer if you didn't expect me to bring something that's going to call you up a little bit higher. Even in this time of sickness, I'm not challenging you to get up and get on your knees and pray right now. I'm not challenging you to get up and worship or anything that you can't focus and you feel that you can't do. I'm not putting a burden on you of some legalistic expectation, but I am going to call you up just a little bit higher in an area this morning, or in a number of areas that relate to each other. You may be called to rest right now. It may be that that is your job this week, is to rest and heal. But the Bible speaks of a rest that takes place that is marked by some things. It's not a physical rest. You rest your physical body that you might be healed. But at the same time that you're doing that, you can rest in the Lord. And I'm going to begin to just throw some things out here. You can rest in the Lord. You rest in faith. You rest in overcoming fear. If you're in faith, you're overcoming fear. You rest in your testimony. You rest in hope. You don't have to do anything. You're not having to be active. You're not having to make your body ache anymore to do the things that I'm about to share with you. You rest in hope. You rest in peace. You rest in expectation. So let's see what I mean by those things for a few moments this morning. Romans 8, as we read this extended passage of Scripture, explains to us that when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned, creation fell. In other words, we talk about the fall of man. You are subject, you have a tendency towards sin. You have a sin nature because you inherited it from your father Adam. Because Adam fell and could only produce after his own kind, therefore he produced fallen humanity, and we come into this world fallen humanity, and the only redemption or salvation for us is in Christ Jesus, who redeems us from that fallen state and puts us in Christ, in himself. So all creation is seldom mentioned in this aspect of the fall of man. We talk about the fall of man, but we seldom talk about the fall of creation. All of creation was subjected to this fallen nature through Adam's sin. We read about it in verses 19 through 25. I'm not going to go back and reread these this morning. You can go back and study them for yourself. In verse 26, the Bible says we have help, that he gives us his Holy Spirit. So this morning, while you're laying there, and while you're moaning, and while you're groaning, and you're feeling so weak, and all of those things, and you say, I can't do anything to help myself, you can begin to realize and believe some things. The Holy Spirit has not left you in your sickness. He draws near to you. The Bible says he is your comforter. He draws near to strengthen you spiritually, to help you to be able to endure and to keep your eyes set on the prize, knowing that you're going to come out on the other side. The Holy Spirit will strengthen your faith if you ask him to. Will strengthen your faith so that you can see beyond today's suffering and see tomorrow's glory. It says that we await this glory. The current suffering, we began this passage of Scripture reading this, that our present suffering is nothing to be compared with what we're eventually going to experience as all of creation has this curse lifted from it and comes into the glory that God intended for it. And so you have help today. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. And you ask him, come and help me, Holy Spirit. Give me perseverance. We'll see perseverance in a moment. Verse 28 tells us in the midst of suffering, we still have a calling. We still have a calling. This entire chapter is in the midst of the suffering of this present age, especially as the early church was undergoing persecution and enduring much suffering. But it also tells us that in the midst of our suffering, even in the midst of your sickness, you still have a calling. And it's not so much a calling to work in this time of sickness, but it's still a calling to be what God has called you to be. And you'll see what that means in just a moment. In verse 31, we have Christ's love and presence promised. That no matter what happens, no matter how sick we are, no matter how devastating this thing seems to be, nothing that comes against us can separate us from the love of Christ that we have, the love of God in Christ Jesus. At the very least this morning, what I am telling you is that you can be aware of that. Many Christians come into a struggle or into a hard situation or into a time of sickness, and then they basically forget about the Lord. It's all about the suffering and all about their sorrow and how they feel. And God seems to feel so distant. They never speak in faith, and they never put their eyes upon Christ to endure during that time and to endure with a heart that is true to Him even in the midst of this suffering. So I want to come back to just a few of these things. As I said, it's not a long message this morning. What is the expectation of the Lord for you right now? If you are suffering, if this is your present time of suffering, what is the expectation of the Lord for you in the midst of this? So I'm going to say number one is that you rest in faith. You rest in faith. You rest your body, you rest your weary mind, but you rest in faith. You don't forget about your faith. You don't lose your faith and say, oh, where is God? You rest in faith, knowing that He is present with you. Faith is the opposite of fear. If this COVID and if this thing that you're suffering with has you struggling with fear, then you need to begin to come in with a repentant heart before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and to help you in this time of fear, to be an overcomer and to walk in faith, because faith casts out fear and love casts out fear, which is the love of God, the love towards God that we have, that we bring to Him in faith. We come in faith because we believe, we know that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith gives birth to peace. Faith gives birth to peace. What I want to do is when we're finished this morning, I want you to be able to rest, and I want you to rest in peace, not in condemnation, not worrying, not fretting, but rest in peace. God has His hand upon you. God has His hand this morning upon the members of Faith Harvest Church. He's going to bring you through. Have faith in what the Lord is going to do in your life. Faith gives birth to peace. So don't be anxious this morning. Don't be fretting. And you may say, well, I don't fret over the sickness. I'm fretting about the bills and I'm missing work or all of these things. No, don't fret while you are resting and you are healing. Don't fret over any of these things. Put them on the shelf. Give them to God. We're going to lift those burdens to the Lord this morning. Put your eyes upon the Lord. And rest in peace and rest in trust without anxiety. Do not be worrying about doctor's bills and loss of work hours. And, you know, maybe you're a wife and the housework's all piling up. And just rest. Just rest and be at peace. The Lord gives you peace this morning. Don't let those things cause a war in your mind. Faith assures you of His presence, and this brings peace. Be aware of His presence by faith this morning. Believe that He's with you in the midst of this struggle. The second thing I want you to see is rest in your testimony. Now, this may be a strange statement, but I think more than anything else, this is how you can serve the Lord this week. And today, this very day, if you're sick and if you're suffering, you may be sick, but consider all your words and the family members that are around you who are listening to what you have to say. How many believers in a time of suffering, in a time of sorrow, in a time of sickness or testing, come unglued? They become fretful and anxious, and they perhaps blame God for things, and they become ornery and angry, and they say things they shouldn't saying. They don't even act like a Christian during that time. You don't have to be working right now in any kind of service to the Lord. You don't have to be. You don't even have to be reading if you can't read. Your eyes are watering and you're coughing your head off. But you can still remember who you are in Christ and let your children and your family hear you glorifying God in the midst of your suffering, talking about how faithful God is to you. If you've ever said in your life, oh, God has been faithful to me, then prove it right now in the midst of your sickness and be a believer that exhibits the love and the joy of the Lord even when you're hurting all over. Job. We know the story of Job. In his sickness and in his suffering, his friends mocked him and they said, it's all your fault. You have done something that has brought this upon you and God has forsaken you. He's put the sickness on you and he has forsaken you. And Job did not even have enough understanding of God and of the Word of God to refute all of that or to be able to answer all of that. But his answer that he did give gives us more to think about than anything else he could have said. When he said that, you know, no matter what you say and no matter how I'm suffering, it doesn't matter. Because even if God slays me, yet will I love him. Yet will I worship him. Yet will I trust him. Depending on the translation that you read, he says all of those things. Yet will I love him. Yet will I worship him. Yet will I trust him. So this morning I want to challenge you. I want to invite you. Okay? Groan and be miserable. Groan and be miserable, but don't deny the Lord. Groan and cry and whatever you need to do. But when you speak, say, God is good. God is good to me. He will see me through this. He's always been faithful. And he will see me through this as well. Keep your testimony. Don't let your family or your friends hear you say things that deny that you are a believer and an overcomer walking with the Lord. The Word of God says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing this morning, even if your oximeter says that your blood oxygen is not what it should be, if you're breathing this morning, sing when you can sing, speak when you can speak, speak words of faith, words of life, say, my God is in control. My God is faithful. My God is a good Father and he has his hand upon me. And nothing is beyond the scope of his knowledge, his power, and his control. Number three, I want you to rest in hope. Rest in hope. The Bible says that faith rests upon hope and hope does not disappoint. So you need to have hope, a strong hope in what God is going to do in your life and as he brings you through this. You know, my father, one of his favorite sayings used to be when anytime you're going through a difficult circumstance, he'd always say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And I hear those words often, even today, resounding in my mind because it's true. This will pass. Nothing, none of this is permanent. You having COVID is not a permanent thing. It's going to pass and you're going to walk with the Lord, and you're going to come out a better person than you were going in because you just have been through another experience where God proved himself faithful to you. This will pass, and your hope is not to be in the medicine. We use all of these things. Your hope is not in the government. The government is totally inept at helping with this entire COVID situation. Your hope is anchored in the Lord. Don't let your hope be in anything else. Your hope is anchored in the Lord and he will not fail you. In Isaiah 40, chapter 31, he says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew my strength. Do you need your strength renewed this morning? Hope in the Lord. Rest in the Lord in hope, and let that hope burst forth in faith that believes God for the wonderful things that He's going to do as He sees you through this time and raises you up off of your sick bed into wholeness and into health. Number four, the last one, rest with expectation. With expectation. This passage of scripture talks about the expectation of the sons of God as we eagerly wait, as even the earth that has been subjected to futility is under a curse. And even as it eagerly awaits the redemption of the sons of God. In other words, it waits for us to receive our glorified bodies, which will never ever be sick again. It waits for that time, great manifestation of the power and the presence of God. And so we wait also eagerly, knowing two things, knowing that ultimately we're going to have this glorious existence in which all suffering is put behind us. But even sometime, perhaps this coming week or the week after, you're going to come out from under this cloud of COVID, and you're going to begin to walk in strength, and you're going to begin to feel like a person again. Have expectation of that. Don't have expectation that you're not going to make it. Have expectation that you're going to make it and you're going to come out on the other side. And so in all of this context that we've been reading, it's the context of suffering, which is temporary, but the glory that we receive is permanent. It all serves His purpose. Everything that's taking place right now, it will, in the end, it will bring forth great, great things to the glory of God. I want to go back and read again verse 37 to the end. Yes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the great promise that we have. While you're sick and while you're feeling so bad and while your body aches or while your nose is running or you're coughing your head off, all of these things, none of this, no matter how bad you feel, none of this can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He loves you. He's with you. He is loving you even this very moment as you are sitting here in the presence of His Word, just receiving something from Him. This morning, I may not be able to focus, but that's not going to separate me from the love of God. I may not be able to read the Word today. That's not going to separate me from the love of God. I may not be able to get up and do anything tangible for God. That's not going to separate me from His great love. I may feel useless and miserable today, but I still abide in the love of God. I have the love of God. I'm a recipient of the love of God. I can rest in the love of God. I can wait, trusting in the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This morning, I hope that you have chosen to join us in receiving the Lord's Supper. ask you just to have your elements ready, the bread and the cup. Before we partake, I want to remind us again that what this is about this morning is encouragement and remembering that we are one body and we're bearing each other's burdens before the Lord. The very last thing that we're going to do this morning is partake of this cup and bread. But before that, we're going to pray. And I think it is fitting this morning. I'm not going to name names over the live stream. I'm not going to call attention to situations or individuals over the live stream. Some might prefer that I not do that anyway, and it may not be the wisest thing to do. But you know who you are, and I know who you are, and I want you to rest assured that Maggie and I are praying for you every day, praying for this body of believers, this congregation. We have extended church family, loved ones, ministry partners in other states. We're praying for you. Some of you have reported that you're sick. We're praying for you as well, whether it's South Dakota or Colorado or Tennessee or Indiana or up in Washington State. And I know that there are other places and I won't remember them all. We have some in Georgia. We have some in Maine that no one here even knows who watch us on the live stream and are part of our church family. They pray for us. And so we remember all of these today, whatever their suffering may be in this hour. Those in this church body locally who have COVID, we want to pray and ask the Lord for strength and healing throughout this congregation of believers, that the Lord would lift us up, raise each one up in strength for the week ahead, bring healing to the bodies in this congregation. So will you join me as we go before the throne of God? Now, Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your great love. I thank you that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself for each one of us. I thank you that even though we live in a fallen world where germs attack, viruses and bacteria attack our bodies, Lord, that we have you sovereignly in control of all things, carrying us through to the end of our story, Lord, which is the beginning of a greater story where we become part of your story in the kingdom of heaven, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we are surrounded by angels, ministering spirits that strengthen us and help us during this time. Thank you that you've given us the gift of faith to believe you, to heal us and strengthen us. You give the gift of healing. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we come before you this morning, and those who are watching on the live stream, join our hearts together, Lord, for the people of Faith Harvest and for extended family and ministry partners in other states. Lord, you know each one that's sick and in need this morning. And I pray right now, Lord, that you touch everybody. I pray, Lord, that you drive out infection, drive out COVID, Lord, and that you raise individuals up in strength and healing and power, Lord, to live as overcomers in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would minister hope, strength, inner strength to each one listening today, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would calm the fears of every mind and the anxieties of every heart. And you would strengthen each person to walk in faith, even in this time. They may not be able to physically walk, but in the spirit, let them walk and stand strong in faith, Lord. I ask, Lord, for complete healing of every person that has COVID or any other sickness in this body of believers today, Lord God. Put your hand on each one, touch them, strengthen them, drive out infections, drive out viruses, and raise them up in strength, Lord God. Give them patience, Lord, as they wait for that healing. Give them endurance, perseverance. Let them guard their testimony and give glory to you, even in the midst of this suffering, Lord. We thank you because this is only a fraction of a revelation of the glory that is to come, the glory that we will receive in the kingdom of the Father. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord, and we thank you for this cup. We thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, if you would take your bread, remembering that Jesus' body was given for us on the cross of Calvary, and you would partake at this time, remembering what he has done for you and of his great love for you. This is my body given for you. And take the cup, remembering that this represents the blood, that precious blood that was shed for our sins, that we might be washed, cleansed, and forgiven. We thank you that Jesus took this cup and said, drink all of it. This is my blood given for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of it. And God's timing is perfect. He strengthened me to at least come and speak to you this morning and tell you that we love you and we miss being with you, but we'll be together again soon. It probably will be week after next because we, as well as some of you, will still be within the time framework that we could still be contagious next Sunday. So I foresee that it would be the following Sunday and we will have everything spick and span and sanitized for you to return to worship with the body. And the Lord has graciously given me this time with you this morning, and I want to thank him for that and just encourage you to rest in the Lord this afternoon and this week and give all your cares to him. Cast your burdens on him, for he cares for you. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless your people today. Be with each one, Lord, and give them strength in body and spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.